ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. Right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, think of all the things that have happened in our lives since the last time we were on the air at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. We've had a complete change with the high school basketball tournaments, the state wrestling tournament. I will update you on that. We've actually got OSSAA Assistant Director David Glover on with us to kind of explain what went into those decisions. I know he was a big part of moving the state tournament to 5 days. So we'll just kind of get you updated on everything high school basketball tournaments with the A and B areas and the 2A through 4A regionals coming up this week. Oklahoma basketball has fallen off the cliff, completely off the cliff. It's done. We missed something yesterday, Jared. You know what was 42 years ago yesterday?
No.
I'll tell you.
I do not.
And it's one of the, it's probably the one sporting event, like at the top of the list. If you made a list of what do you wish you'd have been alive for, it would be number one on my list. And it's funny how you take that and you juxtapose it to what the ratings were for that same event this
year.
Gotcha. So we'll talk about that. We'll update the high school basketball tournament schedule. We'll tell you where anybody that can hear us kind of what has changed to. And another thing that has happened since we were on the air yesterday morning was our man Jim and a 4-second clip that has gone viral. And if you haven't heard it, I've got it. There's been a song created by the guys before us that you heard probably multiple times. I don't think you've heard the song yet. So this,
I heard snippets.
Yeah, so this might be a debut for you to hear.
You got the song
it.
Too?
Yes, I've got
oh,
it.
Oh, my.
I've got it all. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Okay, I'm feeling the text line will be...
It'll be happening today.
It'll be happening. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. You can talk about any of those things. Or whatever else might be on your mind in the world of sports, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show, log on to KADSAM.com. Or you can download the app. Paragon Communications app has all things. It's got all radio stations. It's got the Penny News, the brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Check out the deals this week. In the Penny News, our fearless leader, Betty Wish You Went Yesterday. To go get the print edition of that Penny News.
Did he leave early?
I don't know. I didn't even notice if the trailer was out there.
I didn't either. I was such in a hurry just to get inside.
So at some point, we'll have the print edition of the Penny News. You can check out the deals in this week's Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, back on the air to Friday, as it turns out, with the high school basketball playoffs. We'll tell you where you can see all the different changes to the schedule. We'll tell you about it as well. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes. And KADSAM.com, you go back and check out what we had to say if you missed the show entirely. Hello, Jared.
Are you staying warm?
It's hot right over here.
It is a little warm in this room. That's always been the case. Well, until it's summer, then it's ice cold in this room.
Yeah, it's literally the opposite. This room is the opposite of what it is outside. The truth of it is, if it's cold outside, it's hot in here, and if it's the other way around, the other way around.
Well, that's on everybody's minds, this weather and how it affects, like you mentioned in the opener, it's affected already the basketball schedule for this week. So do we want to start there? Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we had to address the elephant in the room, Jared.
I think you know you've made it. When this is the... Although the guys this morning didn't know who you were.
No, they didn't.
They thought you
were. One of them had actually been on the show, so we made a huge impression on him.
Yeah. Well, he wanted a – never mind. He wanted a contract after that one visit.
So, anyhow, I was listening. I listened on the stream just because, honestly, to make sure that a lot of, I like to listen, but also to make sure that the log isn't off.
Sure.
Because I know when the spots are scheduled, if you hear something weird, come running in here and change it and get it back realigned. And so, but because I listen on the stream, I'm also delayed, you know, 15 to 30 seconds. It just kind of depends on how it's gone through the day, right?
Right.
Sometimes it gets more delayed than others. And so my phone starts absolutely buzzing before I ever hear anything. And I'm like, what? What are they talking about? And then, I guess for the backstory. So, you know, we've obviously been fascinated with the Little Debbie ice cream.
Sure.
Ever since I saw that it was a thing, trying to track it down, we've got to taste four of the seven flavors of the ice cream. I still can't find the other three around here. I may start doing a little bit more of a search in the Kingfisher, El Reno area, coming back. Well, now that it's Friday, it kind of defeats the purpose. We'd have to wait all the way till the next Monday. But anyhow.
No way that stuff's surviving all weekend in your house, right?
Well, I'd probably have to put it into the freezer here like the others are.
There you go.
To make sure it makes it. But anyhow. And so that's been a thing on this show. And then, you know, they were talking about the Little Debbies yesterday with Mark. And so Jim decides, he's listening, obviously, to their conversation. And he decides that he'll just tell them that they're wrong. And he was talking about how much better Hostess is than Little Debbie. He also said Tasty Cakes, which I've seen those in Homeland here. I've actually tried them, and I'm like, I thought they'd be better. Anyhow, and to me, listen, if you had to do a ranking of all the snack cakes, I think I would probably put the Hostess Cupcake number one. I think it may be the best one there is.
Okay.
But then after that, Little Debbie's going to be like two through five or six. It's almost like the 1999 national championship game between Virginia Tech and Florida State. Virginia Tech had the best player by far, Michael Vick.
Right.
But Florida State had like the next 10 if you just went down a list. And that's to me the way that Little Debbie, that's why they win, is because they're so much more versatile and they have so much more quality options. I mean, you go from Hostess Cupcake, it takes a long time to me before you get down to, I mean, I know the little white powdered donuts are pretty good, but they leave a film on the top of your mouth. Twinkie is terrible. And anyhow, so I sent that text into Jim, and here's what we got. Just a second. Hang on a minute. Got the wrong one queued up. Okay. Here was part of his comments to my text.
Have you ever put a ding-dong in your mouth? That's where you're so wrong, Skinny. Have you ever put a ding-dong in your mouth?
And so
people took that and just went.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm serious. My phone was going nuts before I ever heard it.
Mine,
and then
too.
Once I hear it, I just fell out of my chair. And so, of course, and then everybody had the exact same question. And every single text I received for about 30 minutes was, have you ever had a ding-dong in your mouth, Skinny? You know, it's like everybody had the exact same question.
That's the burning question, Skinny.
And so
have you ever had a ding-dong
in
your mouth?
And so the answer is the snack cake called the ding-dong. The only reason.
Which is what we're talking about here. What else are we talking about?
The only reason why it is not the most overrated snack cake there ever was is because the Twinkie exists. The ding-dong is so out of proportion with the amount of cake to filling ratio. That's what makes the cupcake so great, is the cake and the filling are almost perfect. There's not, you know, it's just right. The ding-dong is not that way. Not enough cream filling for the cake in the round ding-dong. But, yeah, that's there. There's a song.
Well, the ding-dong thing, I remember my dad growing up, he always got him, and, you know, most people keep them in their pantry. He kept them in the fridge.
Try to keep them fresh.
They were cold.
Yeah.
And there was some, for some reason, you know, some things are better cold. If you got a ding-dong right out of the fridge, they were cold. Just saying.
Were they the ones wrapped in the foil?
Yes, that's all. Yes.
See, the ding-dong went downhill. When they put them in the package. The foil ones were a lot better as far as the ratio of cream to cake.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. The foil, and that probably helped it get it colder.
Maybe so.
Keep it cold. Anyways,
insulated a little bit better than just the package.
I'm just coming to defense of ding-dongs here. Of all the ding-dongs everywhere. Ding-dong. So, there's a song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the morning guys.
I haven't heard.
This is what you knew. I knew. After my phone blew up. And everybody, even people that I wouldn't have thought that was funny. I mean, everybody's going to think it's somewhat funny, but...
Oh, the potty humor.
Yeah, but don't take the time to, tell you about it.
Yeah.
There's people that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're talking like this. And so then you kind of get an idea, uh-oh. And then one of our favorite listeners texted me early this morning and said, they've already mentioned you on the Sports Animal a few times, or on the Morning Animals a few times. And then they played this song as I was driving over, and I almost drove off the road. I was laughing so hard.
Ever put a hot dog in your mouth? Have you ever put SpaghettiO in your mouth? That's where you're so wrong, Skinny. Have you ever put Kendrick Perkins in your mouth?
Oh, you touched my tra-la-la.
Scott Brooks in your mouth.
Travis Ford
in your mouth.
Danica Patrick
in your mouth.
Barry Trammell
in your mouth.
Chupa Capra
in your mouth.
Goober Labra
in your mouth.
Candelabra
in your mouth.
If it's edible and it's not dirty, eat it.
Darnell Mayberry in your mouth.
Bo Van Pelt
in your mouth.
Forget Kendrick Perkins. Let's say that it's Cabo Cephalosa
in your mouth.
I wonder how long. Who do you think made that?
Phil.
How long do you think that took him?
He said the hardest part was finding a song that had ding dong in it.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait for 2 o'clock.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
What did they say? There is no bad pub?
Sure. You're right.
Now we just got to get them zoned in on the fact that we're real people out here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
That'll be the part that
I need
will
to.
Help
I
us out.
Was Curtis there this morning?
No.
Okay. Was he sick or?
He's gone.
Just gone. All right. Mm-hmm. Not forever, I hope.
No.
Okay. I know a guy who knows him, so I'm gonna see if I can find his contact. Say, listen, we're real people out here, and we've been championing this snack cake discussion for quite a while.
That's what kind of when I thought it was ironic before that happened was that they were talking about the snack. I mean, we've been on this since right before February, because February 1st was when the ice cream came out.
Dude, we were talking about Little Debbie's for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Time.
It was.
A long time ago.
Yeah, we created a run on Little Debbie's.
We realized that it was one of our most listened to topics. We'd go out in public and people would chime in with their opinions of what their favorite Little Debbie cakes or snacks were.
That's true.
Something about the off topics that really get people going. Anyways, we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, it don't matter what they're saying as long as they're talking. There you go. So anyhow, that's what happened yesterday.
We've learned that.
It was a wild.
That's funny.
From 2 o'clock on, it was hard for me to get much done.
I didn't know what. Yeah, I was.
I had to plug my phone in because it was going. It was just. It was a constant buzz there for a little bit.
I immediately went to Twitter and just searched Traber and Ding Dong, and then I saw. Oh my goodness, this thing is trending.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't done that lately. It probably will get some more traction now that there's a song.
Yeah.
That is nuts. Now, when we go to the OABs, you're going to go, oh, you're the ding dong guy.
Yeah. Well, I guess that
Skinny,
might be.
Skinny, you're the ding dong guy.
Maybe that's it. Got to be remembered for something, right?
Yeah.
I can't decide if it's the high point of the show or the low point.
I don't know. Yeah, I know we got a lot of listeners today because of that.
Should we just fade off into oblivion after that? Does it get any better than that?
On top.
Or is that where you're kind of thinking, oh, dear, we're at the low point?
And get some kind of sponsorship from Ding Dongs, from Hostess. Speaking of Hostess, we'll end on this snack cake talk right here, okay?
Okay. I should have eaten that cupcake. It,
unprovoked, by the way, because of everything that happened yesterday, my wife had to go to Walmart for some dinner options, and she comes home with key lime pie cupcakes, Hostess key lime pie cupcakes. She knows I like key lime pie, so yeah. She grabbed these. They're like limited edition.
Key lime pie is probably better than Ding Dong's.
What, did you eat it? I brought you one.
No, I had the toothpaste in my mouth.
Okay.
The toothpaste taste.
Gotcha. It was good. I liked it. I've been on a key lime pie Kit Kat kick. Every time I see those, if you haven't tried those, I advise everybody to do that. It tastes like key lime pie. Sometimes you'll get those specialty snack items that are supposed to taste like something, and they don't. Maybe a little bit. I mean, shoot, we just did the ice cream stuff. But these Kit Kats, they do. The cupcakes, not bad. Not bad. Even my daughter had one.
I may have to go try that.
You try it. My youngest, James, she gave me the James approval, but right now she is eating everything. She just wants a snack on anything all the time.
Yeah, I may have to go try that in the break and then be able to report back.
There you go. So you look at this. We got the cherry pie.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I know a lot of people liked those little pies, the cherry, and there was apple, there was peach, I think there was blueberry. All throughout the years, I just never liked those.
I always liked the cherry pie.
I think at the end of the day, it does matter kind of which one of these you grew up on.
That's true. I mentioned like my dad with the Ding Dongs. I mean, he always had a box of Ding Dongs in the fridge. See, don't, you're going down that road. You can't help it, can you?
Good Lord, Fred. No, but I do think that that's true because it's like music or anything else. You kind of romanticize what it was as a child, you know. I'm not 100% sure that the oatmeal cream pie is a totally different thing, but because it's still delicious into when you get older.
Yeah.
And the Swiss cake rolls were too. The brownie, I mean, is it a great brownie? No. But was it when you were a kid? Yes. Little walnuts on top.
Anything sweet was.
Of course. And then it just so happened, I mean, we would get the Hostess cupcake from time to time, but for the most part, it was Little Debbie's. And because probably they were cheaper at the end of the day, and when my mother kept all the, you know, she was like the, when she started babysitting kids, the highest volume for the least price to be able to afford to have a snack.
Yeah.
And so that's way more comfortable with the Ding Dongs or the Little Debbie's than the Ding Dongs and the Twinkies and all that, which didn't have them as much. So anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of kind of where you go to is what you grew up on. And since I didn't grow up on Ding Dongs, I was more of a Little Debbie guy. You can clip that out.
Okay.
Let's go to the high school basketball.
Let's talk about sports now.
okay, so yesterday, you know, we have talked about this with the impending weather and what was being forecast. What would be the decision? When would the decision be made? What, you know, would they let it go a little bit further on? I think it looks like they made a good choice right now when you look at what's going on around the state of Oklahoma, and it's only Wednesday, and it's not supposed to be temperature-wise warm enough to really kind of get rid of any of this until Friday, right? I mean, so yesterday, right after the show, it was like 10:30. You came in and you're like, hey, did you see that tweet yet? I'm like, no. And so I looked it up. So the OSSA had made the decision for everybody to be postponed a day. Okay. And so we're going to ask Mr. Glover this, one of the things. I think the competitive balance of it makes everybody, no matter what is happening right now in your listening area, if there is or isn't ice, I think a lot of places there is. Some places there not might not be, even north and west. I don't know how bad it is there. And so the thought may be, well, gosh, why are we not playing? There's nothing wrong. You know, our area is fine. I think because of the week it is, because it's area week for A and B, which leads into the state tournament, I think there has to be some consideration given for the competitive balance of it, and that means rest. You know, and so what they've done is nothing's happening Thursday, so tomorrow no games. Doesn't matter when you were scheduled, no games. Now, locations are still the same up to this point. Times have changed, though, just for Friday. So the games that were scheduled for Thursday, 1:30 and 3, and then 6:30 and 8, they have been changed. So that they've been, first off, moved to Friday, and instead of having two sessions, they're just going to be one. So if you were scheduled on Thursday at 1:30 or 3, your game is going to be Friday at 4 or 5:30. If you were scheduled for Thursday night at 6:30 or 8, your game is now 7 or 8:30. Now, the cool thing is, if you had, you know, if your school, I don't think we have anybody like this, actually, but if you did have somebody that was playing at 4, like the first game of the day, and then playing the last game of the day, you just have to buy one ticket.
Right.
It's just a one-session thing. It's, you don't have to clear out and come back. It's all going to happen in the one session.
Yeah,
so
you can, yeah, that's,
you
that's,
can sit there all day long.
They can sit there from what did you say, four?
Four to 10 o'clock.
To the end of the night and get four good basketball games in on Friday.
Okay, so give you an idea of what that means from around the area and the Paragon teams and some around the area teams. So in Class A Area 1 up in Enid, Arapahoe Butler girls are going to play Laverne at 4. Arapahoe Butler boys are going to play Sealing at 5:30. Thomas girls and Sealing go at 7. Moreland and Viside boys go at 8:30. Where you'll be down at Cache in Class A Area 3. First game of the day is Navajo and Calumet at 4, followed by Carnegie and Southwest Covenant at 5:30. Then both Canute games. Canute versus Oklahoma Christian Academy at 7. Then the Canute boys will play Calumet at 8:30. It's all on Friday. Nothing on Thursday. These are all Friday games. In Class B, Area 3, this is at Chickasha. You've got Temple and Blair at 4, Big Pasture Boys and Mod at 5:30. Then you have the Sentinel games. Girls play Roth at 7. The boys play Alec at 8:30. In 2A regional action, the only one that didn't get affected was Sayre. And here's why. Hooker didn't have a district opponent. So there's no, they had a bye into regionals, and so there's nobody for Cordell to play. So Cordell's automatically into the next day. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Sayre and Hooker games are still going to be at 6:30 and 8 time wise. Now it's Friday. I mean, the time didn't get affected. It's still Friday, but it's 6:30 and 8 normal time that you would expect for the regional for the winner's bracket. Now Merritt, their game times have changed. Location has it. They'll be at Fairview. Girls will play Watonga at 7. Boys will play Watonga at 8:30 on Friday night. Now, for Elk City, in 4A regional action, it's Elk City and Hera girls at 4, Elk City and Hera boys at 5:30. So they're back-to-back 4 and 5:30 on Friday. Also affected, Clinton, their boys will play Western Heights up at Enid at 5:30 on Friday afternoon, followed by Clinton and Weatherford on the girls' side. Then Weatherford plays Douglas at 8:30. So you've got 5:37 and 8:30 there all in a row with either Clinton or Weatherford in all those games. So that kind of gives you an idea of what has happened. Nothing past Friday. The game times go back to what you're used to. It goes back to two sessions like you're used to everything happening. So that means for the area finals up in Woodward, instead of Friday night, it's Saturday night, but it's still Hammond and Arnett on the girls' side at 6:30. Leedy and Mountain View Godibo boys will play at 8. So those game times are the same. They're just pushed back a day. So the only game times that have been affected have been Thursday's games that have been moved to Friday. After that, and no locations have been changed. But after that, then you're back to the customary, you know, 1:30, 3, 6:30, and 8, depending on how many games. Obviously on Monday, there won't be any 1:30 and 3 games in A or B because they're down to just the – the consolation finals in the area.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an idea of what's happening. We have this on the Paragon TV Facebook page, the rework schedule. I actually think we have links to the brackets as well at the OSSA site. So you can click on that link and kind of get an idea of what it looks like, because they have updated all of the brackets that are there.
Well, even on ParagonTV.com, there's links to those brackets you mentioned, and now, or there will be, it's not there today for some reason. There was a Facebook feed, but I was turned into a liar in mid-sentence because it's not there now. So maybe it will return. I think they're tweaking it. But, yeah, a lot of ways you can stay connected with all this. I know it can be a little confusing, but we want to make sure no one's leaving for any games tomorrow or going to be late or early for games on Friday. So just be sure you check those brackets. OSSA is very good at keeping those updated. As soon as they made that announcement yesterday, it took them a little bit because there's a lot of brackets they have to update, but they got those updated within maybe an hour or two, and with all those times that we mentioned. So the best bet is to keep listening to us and follow us on Facebook. All of our social media is on Facebook, and we'll keep you updated the best way possible, as best as possible. So there you go. So nothing tomorrow. So another day for me to prep and figure out what's going on with my replay on my system. Something's going on Saturday. I don't know what's up.
Yeah, so no, the main thing out of all that we just said was no games tomorrow.
Correct.
Everything has been pushed to Friday, Saturday, Monday. And then, of course, the Class A and B state tournament supposed to be a Tuesday through Saturday. That's going to be scrunched down to Wednesday through Saturday. I'm curious to know how that's going to look.
Yeah.
And guess what, Jared?
What's up?
We're going to have the man with the answers coming on next.
That's right.
We'll have
We're going to grill him with these questions.
Assistant Director of the OSSA, David Glover, coming on. It's always been, or for a long time, it's been his dream to have a 5-day state tournament in the big house.
Yeah.
And he was able to get it done last year. Maybe the best thing that happened because of COVID. Get his thoughts on how that went, how it's going to look, and everything else next. Joined now by the Assistant Director of the OSSAA. It's the man that had the vision for the 5-day state tournament inside the big house. It's David Glover. David, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm a little beat up by sleet here, but but doing okay.
We are too.
Yeah, it's just kind of hit or miss out here. I know it's worse in a lot of other places around the state, at least this morning. I want to take us back to what happened last year at the state tournament. It was able to be a 5-day event inside the big house for the Class A and B state tournament for the first time that I can remember. What was the feedback that you guys got from everybody involved after that thing was over?
Well, sure. It was kind of one of those things that dang pandemic that hit us, forced us into. We had a lot of places that usually would host what we call a subside for us that really didn't want people on their campuses or in their facilities. So I went to Mr. Jackson, talked to the fairgrounds people, and we went with the 5-day event. And, you know, I got zero negative feedback. You know, the only concern really was sometimes from those folks that had to travel. We had a panhandle school that might have had to play on Tuesday, and then they didn't come back and play again till, let's say, a Thursday evening or Friday after that. And, you know, whether to stay or whether to go on back home and come back, that was and is still the only negative. But the positive, to me, outweighed all the negatives, and that positive was that place that we play, the big house, as it's called, or the old barn, as I call it, is, that's where every kid wants to play. That's where every kid dreams of playing. And, you know, UConn, Mustang, all those places, Southern Nazarene, are fantastic venues. But they're just not the same state tournament as getting to play in the big house. So that was what I enjoyed, was that every kid got to play in there.
There was no, you mentioned those facilities, you don't have to name names, but there's no disappointment expressed by them that they were going to be left out this year?
Oh, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, it's work. That's work to do that. It's it's work on the, it's a strain on the facility. It's a strain on the people. You know, a place like UConn, and Mike Clark is fantastic out there. Mike used to be a colleague of mine at the Activity Association, but he's the athletic director now at UConn. Well, he loves to do it, but his staff in the athletic department will tell you that they love to do it because they built a facility that seats about 3,600 people, and they never get to see it full unless they put on an event like that. So they really enjoy seeing that. They enjoy seeing the crowd there. It's a lot of work. So, no, they understood. And that was my big battle cry was that kid from Tyrone, Oklahoma, that kid from Elk City, Oklahoma, that dreams of playing in the big house. Well, they get to do that. And so that from the first round to the end. So that was pretty good and pretty cool.
Yeah, Zach, I know before – that was the first thing that I would look at on the brackets is, okay, who gets all 3 days inside there? You know, and who sure, has to sure, you know, stay away until Friday with that semifinal. So now let me ask you this. Is this – we all know that the barn has been there forever, and it's such an awesome thing.
Yep.
Is this going to be a permanent solution once the new big house is ready to go?
Yeah, that's my aim. That's my goal. It's what we're going to do this year. Because we're having to bump things back because of Mother Nature this weekend, and we've gone to a Friday, Saturday, Monday for our A and B area tournaments. I'm still going to do it, but we're going to bump everything to Wednesday through Saturday and play eight games a day in the big house instead of just six. And that's not a problem for anybody except, nobody will want that 9 a.m. game. But somebody's going to have to play at 9 a.m. But you know what? It's like I always tell them. Once they get in there, once the ball goes up in there, you can't tell it's 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. But that's what we're doing this year. And then the 2A, 3A, 4A weekend, we're going to do what we did. We're going 5 days with it as well. So, and it'll still have to have a subsite because of the extra classification. There's just no way of not doing it. So we'll still have to have a subsite, two subsites there, but we still get more kids in the fairgrounds. I don't want to ramble, but you speak of the two the new big house. Pardon me. The new big house, we found out for sure the ground will be broken on it after the state fair next year.
Okay.
And so next year, coming to the arena will be a little bit more of a hassle. We'll have two new entrances and all that, but we're going to stay. Pardon me. We're going to stay where we are until the new one's finished, and then we'll move right into the new one. So there won't be no interruption.
Yeah, you've answered about three questions right there. Because me and Aaron have talked about that in the past. Was will there be a period or even a year where there will be no venue because of the transition between old arena and new arena, but you're telling us that it'll be old arena or the original arena. I hate to use the word old, the original classic arena. And then the next year will be new arena. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep. And you're right on all three. It's old, it's classic. that's what they're telling us. They're going to keep the Jim Norick Arena there until the new one is completed, and then they will implode it and bring it down, and we'll start with the new one. The new one is going to be built, and right up against where you enter the new arena now is going to be about where you enter the old, the big house now is where the new arena will start. And so that's why next year we're going to have to move where we come into the big house. And so progress is going to cause some problems, but we're going to work through them, and we're excited that we're going to be able to continue until the bitter end. And of course, we'll have a few tributes. We're going to have a few tributes this year, but there's going to be some things that we want to do to that last year we're in the big house.
That'll be a special year.
Yeah, no doubt. So would that be 24, the last time inside the old one?
Whatever you say. I don't have any idea, fellas. You know, Coach Glover, I don't know if I hope I'm still around when the new one's finished, but they think it's going to be a two-year thing. You know, I don't know. You know, those things, you just don't know. But I was a school superintendent, you know, for 10 years and had some building projects that I give up on trying to guess when things are going to be finished. But it's going to be special. The new one's going to be special. You know, those people at the fairgrounds, guys, they love our events. They tell us, of course, they probably tell the quarter horse people the same thing, but, you know, they tell us that our 2 weeks out there are two of the best weeks they have all year. And really it's 3 weeks because, you know, you have wrestling going on this weekend. But it's a special time. You know, we're going to bring back – Van Shea has worked really hard and put out a all-points bulletin, and we've had great response. We're gonna have some old state championship. I hate to use the word old, but decades old state championship reunions that people are excited. We have one group of people flying in from California, and they're gonna have their 90-plus-year-old coach there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna just, you know, bring them out on the baseline, recognize them, make them feel special, and we're gonna start that now. People that have played, you know, over the going on 60 years of the Big House.
That's what it's all about. That's why that building is special, and why that you wanted to get everybody a chance to play on that floor. That really speaks to exactly what that is. I want you to take us through the decision that was made yesterday to postpone everything until Friday. Obviously, the weather all around the state right now, it makes a lot of sense. So just kind of walk us through the steps that you guys took to make those decisions, and for it to be everybody, I thought was interesting, as opposed to just kind of who's getting affected with the weather forecast.
Yeah, we're fortunate in that we have a gentleman with the National Weather Service that we can all get in contact with as directors, and he was giving us updates starting really last weekend. He would email us updates on what the weather was looking like, and the good thing about the National Weather Service, guys, and I know you're in the media entertainment world, but they don't need the shock value, they don't need the ratings, they're always pretty dependable on what they tell us and pretty honest with us, and we could tell that this event was going to happen, and it was going to be mainly slicing across the middle of the state. But, you know, we decided a lot of folks don't understand what all goes into these games. I mean, it's not just – all they think about is the Elk City folks think about how's this affecting the Elk City folks.
Right.
You know, how's this affecting the folks down around Oklahoma City or up in northeast Oklahoma. Well, at our office, you know, one thing is, how does this affect the officials? You know, how does this affect the director of officials? How does this affect, you know, there's a lot of things, the venues themselves. So we made the decision to go ahead and keep everybody statewide on the same schedule. That way it's Grant Gower, our director of officials, can sit down and put that puzzle together, and he has to recontact officials to see if they're available on Monday, because, you know, all those guys have real jobs.
Uh-huh.
And whether or not they're able to take off on a Monday, you know, there's some changes that have to be made. So by doing that, when we did, Grant's able to get boots on the ground and go to work. We have Grant, give him a pat on the back, has worked very hard and somehow found a way that we've got three officials working all of our regional games in Class B through 4A. That's with some of them doing more games a day than what they normally do. But the officials have been willing to do it. So we do have three officials now at a regional level. But there's just a lot that goes into it. So we just thought, okay, let's just move everything to Friday, Saturday, Monday, and I talked to the fairgrounds. We're going to bump the state tournament to Wednesday through Saturday, and Cindy and I will just get to sit there for about 14 hours a day instead of 10. But it's a great time of year. We're looking forward to it. But that was kind of what went into it. Who's to say that in Ida Belle, Oklahoma, they're going to be able to get there on Friday?
Right.
You know, we did bump everything on Friday. I suggested let's have one session. Let's start at 4 o'clock and just run the game straight through instead of taking a break. I had to contact all of our sites to see if they were okay with that maintenance-wise. You know, folks wonder, well, why do you take a break? Well, the sites want to take a break. They want to keep the places clean and ability to clean restrooms and things like that. And so that's why we did it. And so we'll see. But starting a little later, hopefully we'll be able to get Friday's games in. And then after that, I think we're clear sailing through the end of next week.
Last question, and it's something that we've had questions about since everybody started seeing the videos, and it's not just down at Calvin. It's everywhere you go anymore, it feels like, that the behavior coming from the stands is so much different than it was 20 years ago. The things that are said to the officials are so much worse than they were 20 years ago. How do you guys go about trying to police that? And is there a solution overall that can try to cut that out of what's happening at these athletic events?
Well, that's a very good question. We're going to have to get a lot of cooperation from our schools. Our schools need to understand that administratively they've got to step up and help us out. It's difficult, guys. You know, I was a school administrator. Mm-hmm. It's tough to go up to that person you see every day and say, hey, you need to knock it off. You need to cool it. But it's not everybody, okay? It's not everybody. It's a select few people that ruin it for everybody, and that's the way it usually works, whether it's kids or adults. But you're right. We had another incident last weekend, too, where we had a bench clearing brawl that didn't quite make the news and didn't make the, but it was just as bad. We had a kid just get pummeled by another kid, and not as many people came out of the stands. And I think because of the Calvin incident, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed on the video a lot of people in the stands were holding people back. A lot of people were saying, so maybe out of something bad, there was something good that happened. But we just have to continue to reinforce. You know, this is high school athletics. And then we see, you know, Juwan Howard do this,
right,
what he did in the handshake line. And we've actually got people out there saying, well, let's just do away with the handshake lines. That's ridiculous.
Agree.
You know, I mean, sportsmanship is lost, and we've got to find it. And it's not lost, guys. I take that back. Our kids get it. In most cases, the kids get it. I'm the eight-man football guru at the office. I'm the guy that does all the eight-man championship games. And I've even written a little piece. I haven't published yet, but just a little op-ed, if you will, about eight-man football, about how that's the purest form of football. Those kids aren't going on to play college. They're not worried about the college scholarship. They're helping each other up. They're patting each other on the back. They're going through the handshake line, hugging each other. I mean, they love to play the game for what it is. And I think we see that a lot in basketball, that we don't pay enough attention or give accolades enough to that when we see it. There's a lot more of that than the negative. We just don't talk about the good. And I don't want to get on a rant here, but it's very passionate to me. Our game, our high school basketball, yeah, football's king in Oklahoma, but I tell you what, high school basketball is special.
Mm-hmm.
There are 482 member schools, and every one of them have a girls and boys basketball team. So you do the math about how many kids play basketball. And their parents need to understand only 5% of those thousands of teams have kids on them that are going to go on to play in college. 5%. And you can go out and play all the AAU you want, and you can listen to the AAU people, you know, to ask you for money and come, I'll make your kid a star. High school, about 5% of those kids will go on and play college. So I want to make things special for 95% of those kids.
Absolutely.
And that's what I do, guys, every day I go to work. I miss being in a school because of being able to impact kids. But so for just a few days out of the year, I get to impact kids personally, and that's what I look forward to every day when I go to work. And I hope our fans realize this is high school basketball. They're going to remember this. My goodness, we have a coach 90-plus years old whose high school kids, if you will, guys my age now, and I'm not going to tell you that are going to come back.
Classic.
And they honor that coach. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
And so win, lose, or draw, it's the best times of their lives. So we need to – adults need to just understand that. And hopefully we're going to get to that point. We'll see.
Well, Mr. Glover, thanks so much for joining us. I know you guys are as busy as you ever are throughout the year right now, and we appreciate your time. Can't wait to see you next week up at the A&B State Tournament.
Anytime. Come say hi, fellas, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a great week. It's Assistant Director David Glover of the OSSAA joining us here. You can't say it any better than that right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as the conduct. Because the truth is, the best thing they do, the best thing they put on, is that A and B State Tournament next week.
And listen, I'll shoulder a lot of the blame. You know, us as broadcasters need to point out the good, too. More 100%. Than what we point out. You know, it's easy to point out a missed call here and there and bad sportsmanship, but point out the good stuff.
That was one of the most enjoyable things about that 5-overtime game. Jared and Matt continue to say, these guys are having great sportsmanship back and forth. Thanks again to Mr. Glover, David Glover, the assistant director there at the OSSAA. Going through a bunch of stuff in a small amount of time. And here's the deal. We appreciate his time because right now he doesn't have a lot of it. You know, I know they've made the decision.
Yeah.
And he even mentioned, you know, down Idabel, Ada, McAllister, that area, what happens Friday? You know, I think out here we're all fairly comfortable that by Friday we'll be able to kind of get to wherever we're trying to go. But the further south and east that you go in this state with what's going on right now with the weather, more coming tomorrow, it's a problem that they're going to have to continue to work to solve all the way into the weekend. And then, you know, by next week, it's supposed to be back in the 80s and all this will be away. But it's an interesting time for sure.
Yes.
With what's going on for those guys. And we appreciate his time come to talk with us. All right, so I totally missed this yesterday, Jared, and I can't believe it. I missed it, and with everything that's been going on, did anybody out there realize that the Olympics happened in China?
No, I can safely say
I watched zero, not 1 second of the Olympics.
You know, I actually
I didn't watch any.
I turned it on.
And I normally do.
I turned it on. It was funny. This is funny. You'd think that my girls would have loved the figure skating, right?
Oh.
The ice dancing figure skating, right? There's nothing on that night. My wife's like, "Can you just turn something on? That's appropriate for everybody." So yeah, okay, here. So I turned on the figure skating, and both my girls like, "Dad, we don't like this. Can you turn it?" They're bored with it.
Well, I mean, was it when the poor girl from Russia was? All that?
No, that was just
brutal.
I was like, okay, here's ice skating, figure skating, and they didn't. I think they're more of an action sports kind of duo. But no, I didn't watch, other than that little blip, I didn't watch anything.
Well, to nobody's surprise, the ratings for the Olympics this year were the worst ever. Down like 42% from 2018. Part of it, I mean, there's times where the difference in the time is such that it's just hard to watch it.
Sure.
You know, without, because you go into it not wanting to know the results. Well, in this 20 years ago or 40 years ago, that would work. It'd be tape delayed and nobody'd care. You wouldn't have any idea what the results were. Now you do. It's almost impossible to avoid those results, even if you're trying, with, you know, the social medias, the internet, period. And so that takes it down a little bit, but we all know why it was. It's because it's in China, and what's happened over the last 2 years was a big part of why this has happened.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it. That's a big reason why. You know, don't have it in a
communist country.
Communist state. Communist country, and quit feeding us full of this propaganda how great and wonderful that country is.
And one that some people think might have purposely infected the world with the virus.
Exactly. And two, and outside of the communist state that they held it in, maybe have it in a place that actually has snow and mountains.
Yeah.
Instead of nuclear silos, power reactors behind the snowboarding events and stuff. You seriously? Are you kidding me with this? I think Winter Olympics, I think snow and mountains in a wintry country, maybe in the Alps or something.
Lillehammer, Norway.
Yes. Salt Lake City, I know there's some controversy behind that, but at least they have mountains and snow in the winter. And make it easier to watch.
Well,
just make it easier to watch. You know, they put it on the Peacock thing. You didn't know what channel it was going to be on. Sure, I know it was on NBC, but there's the tape delay stuff. It just wasn't attractive to me anymore. It's not. It hasn't been.
No.
When's the next one? Where's the next one?
I don't know where the next one is.
Where?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. Well, here, juxtapose that to 42 years ago yesterday. Italy.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, Italy makes a little bit more sense.
What was that?
That was new. I think you have your audio.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
That's our text message.
That's our text line going ding ding.
We don't know what that sounds like because we always have it turned off.
So that was now. That was the problems with now. Think about what was going on when this happened.
19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Vigilantinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game.
It's over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
It's hard to believe that scene and that game was played in the same event as what we just saw in China. 42 years earlier. And we're running out of time. And so I want everybody to think about this for tomorrow's show. We're going to lead off with this. What is a sporting event that you wish you could have watched? I'm not talking about in person, is even on TV, but you wish you could have watched or remembered that you were too young for or weren't born for. What is some of those that you wish you could have been watching or been a part of live?
Yeah.
Because that one right there, with the way the world was at the time, with the geopolitical things that were surrounding that game, and the shocking upset that was, it's hard for me not to have that first.
That's true,
and it is, when I saw that, I'd forgot to mention it was yesterday, 42 years ago. It got me to thinking, my gosh, how far have the Olympics fallen from then to now? And sure, it helped that it was in the United States and that something great happened for the United States, but still, I didn't watch hockey in the Olympics this year. I didn't watch the U.S. hockey team this year.
Well, they weren't pros.
The women were in the final. Well, these weren't either.
Yeah. I understand that.
The team that pulled that off weren't either.
But what was it? Olympics, not – it was
– The Olympics in Canada.
10-plus years.
The one in Canada.
Vancouver.
Yes.
Yes, that was a
And it was U.S. and Canada in the finals.
I watched that.
With pros.
And that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
And when I heard the pros were not going to be in this one – because NHL's like, we're not sending our guys because of the whole COVID stuff.
Yeah.
I tuned out. I was like, well, I'm never.
Yeah, it's like 2010 Vancouver Olympics or whatever.
That was fun.
Everybody think about that. What is the one you wish you could have saw live that you either too young for or weren't even born yet to be able to watch on the air? That's where we'll go first tomorrow. What a crazy show.
How do I title this one on the...
We went from ding-dongs to OSSA Assistant Director David Glover to now memory. Good luck with the title. You can make it fun. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Stay safe out there. We'll be back in the morning.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!